Good evening. Let me extend a warm welcome to everybody, and especially if you are a guest with us tonight, we're really glad you've chosen to end the Lord's Day with us. I invite you to take your Bible and turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John. I'm going to begin the series that I will carry on through Advent, the Advent season, starting tonight, picking up again next Lord's Day morning. And so I'd like to read, beginning in John chapter 1, verse 1, and I'll read all the way down to verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you have spoken to us already this day. We thank you that you spoke to us through your word this morning. We thank you that as we've had fellowship and communion and worship with you, even tonight, as we've expressed our joy in the Lord and our joy at the coming of the Lord, you've spoken to us through these songs, and Lord, allowed us to speak to you and lift our praise of our hearts. Father, we thank you that you are the God who is there. We thank you that you're the God who has spoken since creation. You're the God who continues to speak through your word. And we pray that tonight you would help us to see your goodness, your kindness, your graciousness in that. And we pray, Lord, that you would not help us only to appreciate it, but to receive it, and particularly to receive him who came and who speaks, and through whom you speak. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was a child, I used to love the build-up for Christmas. And I hated it, because it meant Christmas wasn't here yet. I remember the catalogs. You might not be old enough to remember, this is before online shopping. They had catalogs that they would mail to your house. And at Christmas, they had all of the new toys in them. And I remember the smell of the print and the ink as my sister and I would lie on the floor, and our parents would allow us to indulge our covetousness for hours at a time as we looked at the catalogs. It meant Christmas was coming. There was a buildup. And then the next thing was the stores on the high street. As you walk down town, they had started to decorate their windows, and there were displays, and there were toys in the windows, and you could tell that Christmas was coming, and then the tree would go up. And in our house, and I understand this is making a comeback, the Christmas tree would have multicolored lights. And the lights that we had, my dad had these lights that came out of the 60s that were like little satellites that were called Sputniks, and they flashed on, and I loved it. It meant that Christmas was coming. And then you had the Advent calendars. We were even an unbelieving home, and we had Advent calendars. And you would take a little window, and every day of the month, you would open it, and there was another little picture. There was another little scene that told you Christmas was coming. Advent was coming. I used to love to open those little windows to see that Advent was coming. Well, in the Apostle John's account of the Advent, there's no wise men. There are no shepherds, there's no angels. He just kind of gets to, and the Word became flesh, John chapter 1, verse 14. But in his inspired perspective, in his way of getting us to that message, it's perhaps a little bit like opening those windows on the Advent calendar. He takes us step by step through the first chapter of his gospel so that we can get to where we'll end up next Sunday morning in John chapter 1:14, and the Word became flesh. From John's inspired perspective, the Son of God, who is the Word of God, who created all things, became man. That's the Advent message. And in order to get us there, he opens windows on the fact that on God's speech to us so that we can appreciate by the time we get to John 1:14 that the Son of God, who was the Word of God, who created all things, became man. So tonight, as we get into, we look at John chapter 1, verses 4 through 13, I want us to see this not only Advent, but life-transforming reality. God becoming man is about God speaking to us so that we might know him, believe in him, and receive the blessing of being his children. From John's perspective, that's what Christmas is all about. It's about God speaking to us so that we might know him, we might believe him, we might receive the blessing of being his children. And tonight we're going to start to see that by kind of opening those windows on Advent. So here's the first window that he opens for us. It's found in verses, I'm going to deal with verse 1 next week when I deal with verse 14. So we're going to start in verse 4. Verse 4 is the first window he opens for us, and it tells us that God had been speaking all along through creation and his servants. He doesn't start at the Advent. He starts back before that, and he says, God has been speaking all along through creation and his servants. Look at verse 4 and 5. In him, that is, the Word of God, who we'll learn is the Son of God, who created all things, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light that he is talking about here in this context is the life that the Word of God, who is the Son of God, who created all things, gave to men. That's the light. The revelation in nature, the revelation, God's speech to us in the very life that he created. There's another familiar passage where God speaks to us about this that you might be more familiar with. If you just turn with me to Romans chapter 1 just for a moment. We'll look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 1, verses 18 through 23. Just listen as the Apostle Paul says the same thing as John is saying in this verse in a different way. Listen to what he says. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Verse 19. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images, resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to the lust of their hearts, to impurity, the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Here's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Everything that God has made makes plain his person and his power, particularly the crowning work of God's creation, mankind made in the image of God. So when you think about that category of natural revelation, or you think about that category of God speaking in creation, it's not just referring to what God says in the creation out there. It's not just referring to the light of his existence, the light of his being that he gives out there. It's actually in here. It's actually in the crown of his creation as well, the very life that he has given to us as his image bearers. Our constitution as men and women made in the image of God tells us what God is like. The fact that we're rational, that we can go 2 and 2 equals 4, or the fact that we can go all the way with our rationality to understanding the Higgs boson particle in physics, that communicates to us the fact that there is a God. Our morality, that we are beings who must instinctively function with values of right and wrong, of what's just and what's not just, no matter how distorted those morals are. Our morality tells us there is a God. If you don't think that we have an innate sense of morality, watch the current scandals. A culture that tells us everything goes in the sensual area has suddenly discovered that some things are off limits, that some things are just wrong. How do we know that in such a debased culture? Because we are made in the image of God, and we know that there is such a thing as right and wrong. John, in John chapter 1, back to our text, verse 4, is saying that before the Son of God came in the flesh, he had been from creation in the life that he had given us light. He has been speaking to us in the very life that he's given to us as his creatures. He's been disclosing himself as God to us. But that's not all. If you're back in our text, look at verses 6 to 8. Was the light of men and shining in the darkness, and the darkness is not overcome it. Verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. You know who this is. This is John the Baptist. He's the prophet who came out of the wilderness to prepare people for the coming of the Christ. He was the one, if we were to continue to read in the Gospel of John, who got to stand there at the end of the long line of prophets and look and say, "Behold the Lamb, he's the Son of God." John was the prophet who finally got to see the one that God had promised and point him out. He bore witness to him who was the light. But what should grab our attention tonight is what he says in the beginning of verse 6. There was a man sent from God. What did Romans, when we read it, tell us about how humanity as image bearers responds to God's speech in creation? What does it say? It says we suppress it. We suppress the truth. We're like children at a beach with a beach ball. And we're trying to get that beach ball pushed under the water, and it keeps popping back up. The revelation of God in our nature, the revelation of God in nature speaks to us, and we keep trying to suppress it, even although it keeps pointing up. What's the typical human response to someone who persistently refuses to listen to you? When we used to live out east, and you would go to the shore where there was salt water, you go to the shore, every once in a while, fairly often, you would see a plane fly across that had a banner behind it advertising something. Louis Pizza, 3-for-1 sale. A better phone plan. Stella, will you marry me? And the idea was to write in the sky so that there was no chance that people would miss it. Now, just imagine that you had paid for that every day for a month to let Stella know that you were there and that you wanted a lifelong relationship with her. Now, what would happen if Stella ignored your message, or in fact, she decided to run off with the other fellow who was on the beach? Chances are you would say, "I'm done with you." Here's the point, that John was sent from God, who has been speaking since creation, through creation, even through the image bearers whom he has made, that John was sent from God to those of us who have continued to try to suppress the truth, tells us a great deal about the goodness and the graciousness of the God who made us and the Son of God who would eventually come in the flesh. Not only does God still speak through his creation to a fallen creature, he has sent, God sent messengers like John and all of the prophets who went before him. But there's actually more. That's not as good as it gets. As good as he was, as privileged he was, John the Baptist, who got to bear witness to the light, who got to point to the light and say, there he is, he was not the light. Look at verse 8. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. So the first window is this, that God has been speaking all along through creation and through his servants. Here's the second window on the calendar that John opens to us and lets us peer in to see that the advent of the Son of God, who is the Word of God, who created all things, is coming. Here's the second window. God has now spoken through the true light coming into the world. Verse 9, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him, suppressing the truth. When I was a little boy growing up just outside of Glasgow, my dad took me to the Glasgow car show. I got to sit in cars that, of course, we could never afford. Some very well-known cars. The year that he took me, there was a Lotus there from the latest James Bond film. And I got to see that, didn't get to sit in it. And then there were some really futuristic-looking vehicles that, to me, they looked like they were more like spacecraft than they were cars. And my dad explained to me that they were prototypes. There were versions that were being tried and they were being tested before the real thing got out on the road. The prototypes were real cars. They were genuine motors, but they were intended to be a preparation for the release of the final and the ultimate project and product. Now, the analogy has limits, of course, but that's kind of what's going on in verse 9. The word true has that sense to it. True in the sense of ultimate as opposed to preparatory, as opposed to provisional. Putting it this way, John is saying that the light, the one who came into the world, is the final light. He's what everything else was pointing to. He's the ultimate revelation that all previous revelations were preparing us for. John's point is this, that the light which was coming into the world was the ultimate disclosure of God to man. And then, astonishingly, he was coming into the world. Now, by using that word world, John's not just saying he came down to earth. Very often when the apostle uses that word world, he means darkness. The world in John's writings is a bad thing. It's a rebellious place. It's the environment where darkness reigns. So here's the point. Here's what's been building up as you flip the little windows back, as you anticipate John chapter 1, verse 14. We can run right there to the advent, and the Word became flesh. But what John is doing is he's peeling back the windows, and he's saying to us, that's not the first time God has spoken. He's been speaking since creation. He's been speaking through your nature. Not only that, he's been sending his servants. He sent John. He wasn't the light, and now he sent the true light. Here's the point. If we're confused, if we're hardened, if we're not hearing God, it's not because he's not speaking. It's because mankind is not listening, or we don't want the message. God has not left his speech to man off in creation, or even simply settled with his witnesses through his servants. He has come himself to finally, fully disclose himself in the person of his Son. We might, if we've picked up what John is saying at all, say with the hymn writer, what more can he say than to you he has said, to you who to Jesus for refuge have fled. The question then is, if it's not that God hasn't been speaking, if it's not that God hasn't spoken since creation, it's not that he hasn't sent his servants, it's not that he hasn't sent the true light into the world, the issue is us, the question is, what are we doing with the revelation that he's given? What are we doing with the light that he has sent? And that brings us then to the third little window that we want to open as we prepare for the Advent. God has spoken, been speaking all along in his creation and through his servants. Thirdly, God has spoken so that we might believe and receive him and become his children. That we might believe and receive him and become his children. Look at verse 10, if you would. He was in the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own people, and they did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of the blood, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I'd like you to notice just how personal this is. If you just look at the few verses, all of the personal pronouns, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You see how personal that is? You might say, well, that's kind of a Captain Obvious moment, John. We could have read that for ourselves. But for many, it's not a personal thing. For many in the culture, even many in the church, the cure for the longing soul is not a personal relationship, but it's simply, as one person put it, singing awesome songs, hearing interesting talks, thinking about improving yourself and helping other people, and doing that in a community of wonderful relationships. No need there for a personal God at all. Just ritual that reorients yourself to what's important in a nice community. What John is telling us here is that the light did not come into the world just to reorient us to a religious ritual. He came to give us a personal relationship. Here's the difference. Weddings are beautiful things, but there's a big difference if you're a guest or if you're the people getting married. You can be a guest and you can enjoy the pomp and you can enjoy the circumstance, you can enjoy the meal, but there's a difference between the two people who enter into relationship and who take the vows and those who are the guests. Jesus came, the light came into the world so that we would have not just be outsiders looking in, but that we would have a personal relationship with him. And so the question is, as we peel back the windows on how God has been speaking, are we settling for the mere manageability of religious ritual, or are we embracing the one who came to be in a personal relationship with him? See, one of the things you want to notice is that it's not just something that is natural. Look back at the text, if you would, with me. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Then in verse 13, he gives this right to be children of God, of those who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Not only is it personal, it's not simply natural. I have a friend who has a number of people on in their office staff in their church, and in the particular community in which they live, there are two big university teams. And one of them has the chant of Roll Tide, and the other one has the chant of War Eagles. And one day he could hear going on out in the office, Roll Tide, from one of the office staff, and the other one was yelling back, War Eagles. Roll Tide, War Eagles. Roll Tide, War Eagles. Roll Tide, War Eagles. He stuck his head out his door. He said, folks, Jesus is risen. We can carve ourselves up into our people, our tribe, our clan, and when it goes beyond just those kind of sentiments in the culture and actually goes to religion, we can think that God, that we are the children of God because we are we, because we are us, because I come from my people, I'm born in this family, I'm born in this country, I'm born in this particular church, therefore I have the right to be a child of God. What John is telling us is it's not merely natural. It is, in fact, supernatural. It is a gift. It is to all who believe, all who receive him personally, that he, notice, gives the right to be the children of God. And so the question for those of us perhaps who have sat in the culture and looked at creation and enjoy creation and understand science and understand the human nature and the human constitution and have listened for our whole lives to what God has been saying through nature is, what are you doing with the speech that God has given to you? And the question for those of us who've had the privilege of being raised in the church or engrafted into the church, who've heard of Christ, who've seen Christ, who've seen the one who's gone to the cross, who've seen the one who's been raised from the dead, who gives the right to come to the Father and enjoy his care and enjoy his life and enjoy his promises and have friendship and fellowship with God. The question for us is this: what are you doing with the one who's been revealed? You see, Christmas is not just about preparing for the celebration. It's not just about preparing for the party. It's just not just about the tension of children who are opening the catalog and saying, I can't wait for the day. It's about, what are you doing with the one who has been speaking, who spoke, and who has come and given the revelation of salvation? And it's to those who receive him, those who believe in him, that by grace he gives the right to know, to believe in God, and to enjoy the benefits of being his children. So as we head into this season, could I invite you to hear God speaking to you in his Son through the Scriptures? And maybe this season, if you've never done it, decide what you're doing with the one who has spoken and who has come into the world. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that our God is there and he is not silent. Lord, not only are you not silent, you're clear. Lord, your word says that there's not one of us who is with excuse. We are all without excuse. Not just what you've made out there, but who you've made us, speaks to us every day that you're there. But Lord, we need your revelation in your Son, the Lord Jesus, to be saved. We would know nothing of your grace. We would know nothing of salvation had he not come. And so, Lord, I pray for each and every person who hears this message tonight, that from wherever we are, by your grace, you would move us closer to receiving, believing, loving Jesus, and enjoying the benefits of being the children of God in him. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.